Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.
Disrespect, so when I bust my rhyme, you break your neck. We got 5 minutes for us to disconnect.
All the band is out on the field. He's looking for the ball. We are so away from tradition, because when we be out, girl, it's full of that. Smith caught him right down the line. It may go. Go crazy, folks.
Let's get into it. Pass comes into Jordan. Here's Michael at the foul line. A shot on Elo. Good!
Not much. Again, another great week of sports. NBA playoffs are shaping up real nice. And then the first thing I wanted to talk about with you was, I mean, LeBron James. I mean, the guy looks like he's on a different level right now. Even better than I've ever seen him. This Cavs team is clicking on all cylinders. They look like an awfully scary matchup for whatever team comes out of the West now. I mean, I know we talked about this a couple weeks ago, saying that, you know, the Cavs do have some scary potential when their big three is clicking, but, I mean, they're playing the best I've ever seen them play since LeBron got to Cleveland. So, I mean, what are your thoughts on the Cavs right now?
Well, I mean, he's trying to prove a point right now because he's pissed off that Curry got the only unanimous MVP. So he's trying to prove a point now that he's still the best and the king. And, you know, I mean, they're playing great, but, you know, let's see how they play when they get, you know, to the next level, because right now they're playing in the minor leagues. I mean, they're playing an awful Toronto team. Okay. I mean, they may be there, but, you know, I'm not impressed. Right.
So. Right. And I think I agree with you. I mean, the East more or less is a bunch of cupcakes. I mean, in comparison to the West, you had that Spurs team who I think would have wiped the floor in four or five games, anybody in the East, you know, getting knocked out in the second round. I mean, that tells you how much of a disparity there is between the two leagues, with possibly the exception of Cleveland. But, right, you know, I don't really care anything about what LeBron's doing or what the Cavs are doing until it's crunch time, until it's the finals. I mean, you know, the guy has been in the finals the past 6 years, and that's pretty remarkable. I mean, I heard something funny the other day. The only certainties in life are death, taxes, and LeBron James in the NBA Finals. And we're definitely going to get another shot to see him there this year. You know, whether or not the Cavs sweep in four games or make it, you know, a five game if Toronto squeaks it out, I think it's immaterial. I think they're definitely going to get there. I think one of the key differences in this year's playoffs is, you know, LeBron has not been having to do as much. And I think that definitely works in his favor. I mean, the guy definitely looks more rested. You know, isn't playing as many minutes a game because they really don't need him to. I mean, they've been absolutely destroying anybody in their path. They haven't lost a game yet. So, I mean, I think that could be another key factor in the finals. I mean, if you remember last year, LeBron was playing, you know, was it like 43 or 44 minutes a night, just like an unsustainable pace. But, you know, the guy is probably the best athlete overall to ever play the game of basketball. So he was one of the guys who could do it. But, I mean, you could see how much of a toll that took on his body. So, I mean, with him getting the rest he needs and Kyrie Irving and Kevin Love finally playing, I think, almost to their full potential, I mean, I could see this matchup being troublesome for the Golden State Warriors, who I think are going to come out of the West. But, you know, either way you look at it, I mean, the Thunder and the Warriors are both very good teams.
But you picked the Thunder. You don't think they're coming out anymore? Did you change your mind?
You know what? I love the effort in the first game. You know, they showed a lot of fight. I was actually at a bar with a couple friends, and I wasn't watching the game too closely, but, you know, I saw they made it a close game. They got down by 10 points. I kept looking up, and that trend kept going for about, you know, a quarter and a half, you know, till the end of the third quarter. And I was like, I mean, you know, the Golden State Warriors, I think they would close it out already, and they'd been up by 10 points about three different times, you know, in the span of two quarters. And, you know, they didn't get the job done, and you got to give credit to the Thunder for coming back. But what kind of worried me and what kind of upset me was, you know, getting blown out by 30 points the next game, it really put a damper, I think, on that game one win. I know it's big because, you know, they stole one in Golden State. But, you know, I would think for a team that, you know, is coming out and just beat the Warriors, you know, to lose by that many points the second game, it just tells me that something totally isn't there. And it puts a lot more confidence in the Warriors for me because, you know what, they didn't play that great that first game. The Thunder more or less stole that game from them, and they came out the second game and absolutely destroyed them. So that definitely puts a little knock on the Thunder for me. So we'll see when the series switches to Oklahoma City, but I just think the Warriors, I think they're a better team, and I think they really showed that in that second game. So, I mean, if the Thunder are going to win, we're going to need to see Durant and Westbrook playing at the highest level because I think the Warriors are undoubtedly the better team. You know, you look at guys like Stephen Curry and Klay Thompson and Draymond Green, Harrison Barnes, all those guys. I mean, they are the best team in the NBA. I don't think there's any denying that. Whether or not they win at all, you know, we'll see. But, you know, that second game, it really scared me for the Thunder, and I think they're going to need to come out and do something big in Game 3. Otherwise, the series could slip away, you know, before you know it.
Yeah, but, you know, one of the things about, you know, when you beat a team like Golden State on the road, you know, your objective is to win one game on the road. So they probably want it, and they go, okay, we won the game, so now we can just relax. And, you know, you know what happens. These games,
right.
These games tend to get carried away one way or the other, and usually a team is not as bad nor as good as they look overall, right? I mean, so, you know, we'll see. I mean, I got news for you. I do like Golden State. I think they're a more accomplished team, but certainly Durant and Westbrook are awfully good. So, you know, we'll see.
You know, the other thing is, I mean, this series figures to be a dogfight between the Thunder and the Warriors. And I think that's another thing working in the benefit of the Cavs is, you know, they look like they're about to literally take baby steps into the finals. I mean, the two games they played against Toronto have been, you know, embarrassing. And, you know, Kyle Lowry and DeMar DeRozan are just not playing well right now. And they're about the only chance that the Raptors have of, you know, even stealing one game. I mean, that could be another big factor that, you know, this is coming off a, you know, a monumental series, and the Thunder and the Warriors and the Cavs, you know, basically haven't broken a sweat yet this playoff. So, I mean, that could be another thing that can make it interesting in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's always interesting. And, you know, one of the problems is that it's the age-old question. Is an easy series or too much time off good or bad for the team? You know what I mean? I mean, it's hard to say, right? I don't know the answer myself. I know that you think a team's well rested and they come out usually flat, and then, you know, if you get, you know, and especially in the playoffs, you get behind one game, and that's in the playoffs, that's a big percentage. So I don't know. I mean, you know, either way, I wouldn't be surprised, but it'd be kind of interesting to see LeBron and Curry go at it because, you know, LeBron's been bashing Curry a little bit lately, so I think it'd be kind of an interesting matchup. What do you think?
Yeah, you know, I'm really looking forward to that because, I mean, last year, I think he definitely could have made a case that LeBron James was the MVP of that series. I mean, I know the Cavs didn't win, but, I mean, what he did was pretty remarkable. Basically, you know, playing 1-on-5, you know, in a sense. Really didn't have much help. And this year, I feel like it's the complete opposite. I mean, this Cavs team is really clicking on all cylinders, and it'll be interesting to see, you know, how that shapes up for the finals because, you know, the thing about the rest, you know, I've heard it both ways, like you said, but to me, a guy who has as much experience and as much of competitive nature as LeBron, I think it definitely works in their favor to be more rested because, you know, he's been there. He's done it before, and he's won before. I mean, let's not forget the guy has won two NBA championships with the Miami Heat. So, you know, he doesn't know how to win. I mean, the guy has won before. You know, how will these other guys show up? I mean, Kyrie Irving is still young. Kevin Love has been in the league for a while, but, you know, if you remember, played on the Timberwolves for a long time and was putting up 30 points and 20 rebounds.
He never won, but this is the Sporting Edge with Bubba and Xander. And if you missed an episode, LibertyTalk.fm will get you the download. We're going to step out of here for a break. The Sporting Edge with Bubba and Xander. We'll be right back after the break. The Sporting Edge.
If I don't finish this last bite, you don't get my soul, do you?
Welcome back to the Sporting Edge with Bubba and Xander. And Xander, one more basketball question. I see that Houston is looking at D'Antoni, and I don't understand it. I never thought he was a good coach. What the? I mean, they just got rid of one guy. Were they going to bring another dog in? I mean, you got any thoughts there?
Yeah, you know, Houston to me is kind of like the black hole of basketball right now. The only benefit I could see to bringing D'Antoni into Houston is to see if James Harden could score 100 points and break Wilt Chamberlain's record. I think that'd be about the only positive. Not really a knock on D'Antoni. I think he's an okay coach. Definitely not great. But I think the Houston's team right now, the problem is with the players, and it's a, you know, I hate to say it, but it's a cancerous bunch over there. I mean, just the way that they have slid downhill the past two seasons, it kind of makes you shake your head from a team that was, you know, competing in the Western Conference Finals, or not really competing, but they got there. And, you know, guys like Dwight Howard, James Harden, I don't think those guys really have what it takes to win. Not to say that they're not great players. You know, I think James Harden is a very good player, but the guy doesn't play any defense, and he's one of the best playmakers in the NBA. But, you know, I don't think a guy like that really ever wins an NBA title. And combined with all the other guys in the team, I don't think the coach is what's going to save them here. I think they need a complete rebuild, and certainly not an offensive-minded coach in D'Antoni. But, you know, I have been wrong before, but no, I just don't see.
No, you've never been wrong before. So today we got the Preakness, and I know it's really pretty much of a tough betting race. I mean, it's a little bit shorter than the Derby by a 16th of a mile. The track's a little bit different. It's a little narrower, and the field's going to be smaller. Have you looked at it all? You have any thoughts towards the race?
Well, I mean, I think it's always disappointing in a big race like this to see a horse, you know, coming out of the gate to 3-5. It makes it really tough to bet. You know, in any kind of bet that you wanted to do, I mean, 3-5 is just some I just like to stay away from. I mean, I usually like to at least have a horse, you know, 3-1, 4-1. Maybe just talking about a regular race on any given day, but you know, it makes it really tough to make, you know, a win only bet on Nyquist. I mean, you kind of put up essentially a lot of money not to win a lot back, and that kind of takes away a little bit from the race. I mean, the one horse I guess I could think about taking is Exaggerator. I mean, you know, it was only a length and a quarter off from beating Nyquist in the Kentucky Derby. And, you know, I thought that Nyquist kind of had it all the way down the stretch, but Exaggerator did run a good race. And for the rest of the field, I mean, it's basically a bunch of long shots. The one horse I was looking at that I think, you know, if he runs the best race of his life, I think he'd possibly have a shot was the two-horse Uncle Lino. You know, reports on him basically that he likes to press the pace, similar to Nyquist. You know, most likely Nyquist has a lot more juice than him, but if I were thinking, you know, if they were coming down the stretch and Uncle Lino was up there, if he had one last major pushing him, I could see him, you know, possibly making a bump. So a 20-1, you know, I like Uncle Lino. But, you know, besides Nyquist and Exaggerator, you know, I don't think there's much else out there except the 11-horse Stradivari. I don't know if I said that right, but going up 8-1.
Actually, I like, I think obviously this would be what we like to call on the show here like a pizza and beer kind of bet. I mean, I wouldn't bet anything too much on it, but I think you have to use Nyquist in the trifecta. I think I'll be hard to beat him, but I mean, I'm going to try to beat him with Stradivari, the 11 horse, and Collected, the 7 horse, and Exaggerator, the 3. So I'm going to use those four in a trifecta box, but I'd be very surprised if Nyquist does not prevail. But you never know. That's why they call it gambling, and that's why it's horse racing. But certainly the condition set up, and as easy as a race that Nyquist had in the Derby, because he really was never pressed. So, you know, you always look at that, you know, you hear it in baseball all the time and you hear it in horse racing, you know, the stress of the race. And the race was not very stressful for Nyquist. He kind of just loped around and won easy. So we'll see. But that's kind of who I like in the race. But overall, I don't see making a big play here because I don't know who's going to really beat the chalk. And I love to try to beat him, but I just don't have anybody that I think is good enough. But I think those four in a box probably, you know, it was a reasonable play, and the worst part is if Nyquist wins and you win the trifecta, you'll probably lose money overall because he's going to be, you know, he's going to be bet heavy. I mean, you know, we had the try in the Derby, with him. And, you know, I mean, you know, in a 20-horse field, the trifecta paid $80 for a dollar, so it wasn't very good. But, you know, it'll be a good race. And, you know, listen, I'm kind of hoping that Nyquist wins. I mean, I'd like to see the Triple Crown again. You know, it's always exciting to watch. But I am going to try to beat him just in case he doesn't win there. So
yeah. Well, I mean, talking about the Triple Crown, you know, I think that's interesting that, you know, a year ago we had a Triple Crown winner, and now we're, you know, talking about another one. For me, I don't really know if I'd want to see another one right now. I mean, I thought it was so great last year, you know, after, you know, 40 years of no horse doing it, to have it done was really special. And I think, you know, if it happened in back-to-back years, it would still be very special, but I don't know if it would have the same glamour just because it just happened recently. And it seemed like an accomplishment that, you know, it only happened a few times in the history of horse racing. So, you know, I don't know if I want to see it again so soon.
Yeah, no, I mean, listen, I get it. I mean, you know, it's, you know, if you're, you know, I've been a horse racing fan for over 40 years. So, you know, I've seen... I remember the Affirmed and Aladar races, and, you know, I remember Spectacular Bid. And so, you know, I mean, and I suspected a bit, Secretariat. And, you know, so I remember all of it. But, you know, it's always, listen, it's such a challenge. And today it's such so much more of a challenge because, you know, in the old days, they didn't bring fresh horses every race. And here they're bringing fresh ones in all the time. So it does press the pace, you know, going on here. And what else are you seeing out there, big boy?
Well, I thought we could go over a little Jaguars news. The NFL, another bad... Go ahead.
I'm saying.
Oh, my bad. I'm hearing things. But, you know, some more bad news out of Jags camp. You know, their first pick, number 5 pick overall in the draft, Jalen Ramsey has a tear in his meniscus. And if you remember back to last year, the Jags had the number 3 pick, took Dante Fowler Jr., a defensive end out of Florida State, and he tore his ACL on the first day of organized practice. Another, you know, round of bad news for the Jaguars. I mean, I really thought that they were going to take a huge step in the right direction this year. I mean, the offense last year I thought was 10 times better than it has looked in a long time. Blake Bortles made a lot of strides that I wasn't sure that he was going to make last year. And that team was somewhat competent. And I felt with, you know, Dante Fowler, you know, possibly coming back this year, the additions of Jalen Ramsey, you know, they just have a lot of good young pieces that I thought could make this team at least a 500 ball club. But I think this is a huge blow to the Jags. I mean, there's talks that he might be able to come back for the start of the season. You're not really sure yet. It hasn't completely come out, but that's a lot of practice time missed and, you know, a lot of reps for a guy that, you know, some people said was pound for pound overall the best player in the draft. And to get him at the number 5 pick, I thought was an awesome score for the Jags because they really do need help on the defensive side of the ball. But I thought, you know, it was just a sad piece of news for a team that I thought had a very small but outside shot at making the playoffs this year.
Yeah, no, I mean, I agree. And, of course, you know, that is the unfortunate part of sports. And, you know, it happens, obviously, frequently, and there's always big injuries. And that goes a long way in determining, you know, the destiny. But, you know, hopefully they can get it out. But, I wasn't real impressed. You know, I love the Jags. I mean, I think that Bortles is going to be a great quarterback. I think that he's a real gunslinger. And but I wasn't impressed with the, you know, when they picked up the extra running back. You know, that doesn't make a lot of sense to me, and that seems kind of backwards. But, you know, certainly I think they've got an outstanding chance, and I think they've got a good coach, and I think they can make something happen, certainly. And, of course, we'll get more into football as the weeks get closer because we're getting closer to the season again. You know, it's amazing how all these seasons start to run into each other. Because they just, you know, everything is just longer and longer. And I mean, you know, pretty soon we're going to have year round sports all the way around. But this is the Sporting Edge with Bubba and Xander. We're going to stop by here for a break, but make sure you ever miss an episode, all you have to do is go to libertytalk.fm. You can also get the Bubba Show there. And right now we're getting about 220,000 downloads a month. And we'd like to see you as part of that. So make sure you go to libertytalk.fm. This is The Sporting Edge with Bubba and Xander, and we're going to step by here for a break, and we will be right back after the break. The Sporting Edge.
trust. For nearly four decades, that is the reputation Roberts & Roberts Brokerage has forged with their customers. Now, with their full e-commerce website, rrbi.co, it's easier than ever to buy or sell precious metals via Bitcoin or major credit card. Visit them online at rrbi.co or call 800-874-9760 to speak with an experienced professional today. Roberts & Roberts, when you're serious about precious metals.
What's up, everybody? Bubba here. It's finally here, the long-awaited Bubba Report, bringing you news from all the trading floors across the globe. We've got Scott Cialdini, the cow guy, as seen on CNBC, Fox, and Bloomberg. We've got Keith Bliss, CNBC, Fox, and a floor trader at the New York Stock Exchange. We've got the Badger, who writes the hot topics in the political news. We've got myself putting together my own unique indexes that will help you, give you a better idea of what's going on in the market. All you need to do to get a hold of the Bubba Report is go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for the newsletter, or you can email me direct at bubba@thebubbashow.org. We want you to have this report because we've got over 150 years of experience talking about markets, getting ready for the trading, and put you in the best position to have successful. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get a copy of your report, or go right to the website, thebubbashow.org. Make sure you get it. It's a must-have for every investor and trader. The Bubba Report.
Dark night is not rising. What the hell's going on there?
The dark night is, he's essentially gone. I mean, there's nothing about Matt Harvey's pitching this year that has looked anything like, you know, what he's accomplished in the past couple of years. You know what? This is a really sad case because Matt Harvey, I thought, you know, was going to be the next best thing in baseball. You know, certainly looked like it a couple of years ago. I mean, this guy had all the tools. He threw hard. He commanded the ball, had a great off-speed pitch, and then he got hurt. And I personally think part of the problem now was the deep run in the playoffs last year for the Mets. I mean, you look at some of Harvey's problems, the guy is getting absolutely hammered. I mean, we saw it two nights ago against the Nationals. I mean, not only did this guy give up a lot of runs, but he got absolutely smoked. I mean, guys are teeing off on him. And part of the reason, I think, is the velocity. I mean, the guy was 97, 98 2 years ago, and now is 91 to 93. I mean, that is a huge drop for a major league pitcher. I mean, if your game is finesse and you're throwing in the low 90s, that's fine. But I think the best part of Harvey's game, I thought, was that high cheese. I mean, it was that great fastball that could get basically almost anybody out. I mean, you saw the stat line on Bryce Harper was 0 for 20 coming into that game against Matt Harvey all time. But having the surgery and then throwing 230 innings and, you know, ending in a deep run, going to the World Series, you know, maybe that wasn't the best thing for him. I mean, maybe he's out of gas. Maybe he needs a second opinion on something. But, I mean, Bryce Harper came out and he said, you know, I feel bad for the guy. You know, if you saw a few days ago, Matt Harvey was getting interviewed about, you know, his season so far, and he basically said, you know, I know there's something wrong with me. And I don't know what it is. I'm going to try to figure it out on the mound. But, you know, I don't have, you know, all my best stuff right now. And I actually have to give him a lot of credit for doing that because I think it takes, you know, it takes a pretty big man to come out and say, you know, I'm not completely confident in what I'm doing right now. You know, I'm working on it as best I can. But, you know, obviously if you've watched Matt Harvey pitch, there's obviously something different and wrong with him. And he came out and said, I don't know what it is. I know I'm not pitching well. So what were your thoughts on Matt Harvey, and what do you think about him going forward?
Well, I think right now he sucks, and I think it's, in my opinion, it's all in his head. And this is a common problem with athletes, that you get it in your head that you can't do something, and you can't do it, and it just mushrooms. And I think what we're seeing is it's mushrooming. I mean, you know, it's funny. I was in Vegas last week, and I bet him to win the first five innings. I knew that his first five innings, he's got a sub-2 ERA. And after five, he gets shelled, and he hasn't made it past six all year this year. So, you know, we took a shot and bet him pretty big for the first five, and, of course, he was cruising along until he gave up three in the bottom of the fourth. But I think it's, in my opinion, it's all in his head. You know, he's close enough. And, you know, as you know, pitching is more about, you know, putting it where you need to put it as well, not only how hard you throw it, because there's been a lot of guys. Listen, Kyle Farnsworth threw 100 before anybody threw 100, and he got lit up like a Christmas tree. So, you know, I think it's definitely all in his head. He says he's not hurt, so I have to believe that. They're not putting him on the DL, so they don't think he's hurt. So the only thing that can be hurt is his head. And so me, in my opinion, it's all in his head. And I think we've seen this before, because look at the converse side. In the same division, in the same matchup, Steven Strasburg. The Nationals, I think, are 12 or 13-0 in his last 13 starts. He's now 7-0 this year and looks like the guy that everybody had all the rave about when he first came up into the league. So, you know, he has now gotten his head together, and he's got everything out of his mind, and he's now doing what he's supposed to do, and he is just vicious now. I mean, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, Strasburg, and that whole series is just fun to watch, because in that first night we had Syndergaard, Scherzer, you know, one of the best pitching matchups we'll see all year. I mean, Syndergaard is awfully fun to watch, and Scherzer pitched a hell of a game too. I mean, gave up two solo bombs, they lost 2-0, and then we see Strasburg is just, you know, the guy looks like the guy we saw that first night I ever saw him pitch. I remember we were sitting in your room, and he came out in his first start ever, struck out 14 guys. It was surreal, you know, to have that kind of a start in his first time out. I mean, the guy's back up there throwing 97, 98 with a, you know, a devastating curveball, and he's been pitching well all year. And it, you know, we talked about it last week. You know, good for him that he got that contract extension, because I think he deserves it. And I think this Nats team, you know, a lot of their future success is going to hinge on their starting pitching, and he is definitely one of their most important starting pitchers. You know, I thought next we could talk about, you know, probably the biggest piece in news from last week was the Rougned Odor, Jose Bautista fiasco in Texas. What were your thoughts on that whole thing?
First of all, I actually was talking about Sale, but we'll talk about this first. But I thought it was great. I loved the right hook that Odor threw at him. I think Bautista skated and didn't get the proper punishment. I thought he should have gotten more than one game, because he went to take him out. And, you know, if you remember, you know, these guys get broken legs, and, you know, you could ruin the guy's life. And so I'm really sad that they only gave him one game, because he went after him. There wasn't even any question about it. He went after his legs. And I'm happy that Odor laid him one right in the kisser. I think he deserved it. That was one of the best punches I've seen in any match. So I liked it. I liked the way he defended it. And I think that, you know, there's a lot of bad blood between those two teams. But certainly the one thing you have to always respect is the other athlete. And if you're going to go to try to hurt him and take him out, that's just stupid. And that, to me, is what Bautista was doing. I mean, I don't like Joey Bats anyway. I think he's a jackass to begin with. So, you know, I was glad to see Odor connect. I'm sad to see that he didn't get that. But I mean, Odor deserved every bit of 8 games. You get that's automatic. You get it. Could have got more. But Joey Bats didn't get enough. What do you think?
Yeah, I agree. I think he definitely should have gotten more. I like you. I've never, you know, even before the bat flip last year in the series, I never was a big fan of Joey Bats. He always kind of rubbed me the wrong way. And this kind of sealed the deal for me. I mean, that slide, given that that kind of slide wasn't even illegal last year, you know, they recently switched up the rule. But to me, it looked like, you know, he was going for a big knockout of Odor. And, I mean, that's why you saw that throw was way up the line. And I think he got exactly what was coming to him. I mean, people who said, I've heard a couple of people say that they thought it was a sucker punch and whatnot. And if you take a look at the video, Bautista clearly raised his hands just as about 10 times as slow as Odor, who I heard was a Golden Gloves champion growing up. But, I mean, I loved it. I thought, you know, we've heard a lot about make baseball fun again. I thought that was a lot of fun to see those guys go at it. And like I said, I was happy to see Bautista get clocked in the face, because I think he deserved it. And, you know, I love to see that. If I'm on the Rangers, I love that fire from Odor. I mean, obviously it's not right ever to punch somebody in the face, but in the essence of, you know, firing up his team, standing up for himself, I loved it. I thought it was great. And like you said, it was the best sporting punch I think I've ever seen. I mean, it was clean. It was right under the helmet, right on the cheek. I'm surprised Batista didn't go down. It was an awfully big connection, but he looked a little woozy after that. But I thought, yeah, definitely deserved more than one game. He also, I think, was in the mode of fighting, just was in slow motion, so he did happen to get clocked first. But that whole situation was outrageous, and the benches cleared. Managers were spitting and yelling in each other's faces. We were having people diving around. And that kind of just shows you, you know, baseball, while it might not be the most physical of sports, I mean, there are still some unbelievable rivalries in that game. And things like this kind of make, you know, a physical side of the game come out that doesn't really, you know, theoretically exist on the actual field. But I think it was cool to watch, and it'd be cool to see these two teams, you know, face off in the playoffs again.
Yeah, I mean, you know, again, I don't advocate punching. I don't advocate any of that. But, you know, Odor was, in my opinion, protecting his family, protecting his wealth, and protecting his life. And to me, he deserved every bit of it. And I did like the way that Adrian Beltre got involved, and he kind of dragged Batista away because they're buddies from, you know, from home, and they played together before. So I liked that part as well. But, you know, it was a good old-fashioned fight. And, you know, listen, again, you have to have, if you're going to play, you got to play by the rules. And you know, again, I think that from a baseball standpoint, you know, it was a punch. And, again, we know that the punching is illegal, and he got his suspension. But you have to think that Joey Bat should have got more. I didn't like that part of it. And it's amazing that nobody else got suspended from the whole fracas altogether. And I think that the Gibbons, the Toronto manager, is on his way out. They have been certainly disappointing, but we'll talk about that on the other side of the break, as well as Chris Sale and some of the other things going on in baseball. But this is the Sporting Edge with Bubba and Xander, and make sure when you miss an episode, you go to libertytalk.fm. You can download the Sporting Edge there, as well as the Bubba Show. And you know, the Bubba Show is every day, so make sure you check it out. We're going to step out here now for a break. We will be back after the break with more of the Sporting Edge. The Sporting Edge with Bubba and Xander. We will be right back. The Sporting Edge. Welcome back to the Sporting Edge with Bubba and Xander. So, Xander, how about the Chicago Pitchers this year? I guess Chris Sale got tired of hearing that Arrieta and Lester are better than he is. And he's only 9-0, 9 for his first 9 starts.
I can't even describe how much fun it is to watch that guy pitch. If you had to make me choose between Arrieta and Chris Sale, I don't even know which one I would pick. I would just say give me both. But I mean, Chris Sale, I mean, this is a historic start. I think his ERA is something in the low, like 1.2 or 1.3. And this is the Chris Sale I think I imagined a couple years ago. I mean, I think he made a case he was one of the best pitchers in baseball a couple years ago, and now it's unquestioned. You know, when I think of the best pitchers in baseball, I think Kershaw, I think Sale, and I think Arrieta, and I think it stops right there. I think that's the top tier for me. But, I mean, remarkable. What he did the other night against Houston, you know, complete game, 3 hits, 1 run, 8 Ks.
How about he had to convince Ventura to leave him out there? Ventura wanted to pull him. He said, no, I'm not going out. How do you like that?
That's what you love to see in your ace. I mean, a guy who is a competitor, wants the ball, you know, wants to get it done. And he's a main reason this year why the Sox are so competitive. I mean, this team, like I said a couple weeks ago, I'm a Cubs fan, but this Sox team is a scary team.
Oh, they're very,
they can put all the pieces together.
They're very good. Hey, what did you think about Brad Ausmus and his little tirade? I mean, you know, he's about ready to get fired, too. What do you think?
Oh, funny story. So I was making myself dinner the other night before that game, and there was Brad Ausmus was getting interviewed by a couple people in the Tigers locker room, and this woman, you know, says to him, you know, there's reports, you know, that you're on the hot seat, you know, basically, how does that make you feel, and what do you think about it? And he snapped back, and he got really pissed off, which Brad Ausmus, I think, very rarely shows his emotion like that. And he said, you know, if you want to talk Tigers baseball with me, we can do that. If not, if you don't have any more questions about that, then, you know, we're done here. And, you know, later that night was the night he got tossed and very delicately put his sweatshirt on home plate. And you know what? While he disagreed with the call, I think that was, you know, kind of a baseball way and his way of sending a message to his team, you know, to kind of wake up. And yeah, I never mind a manager getting tossed, really. I mean, they're really essentially fighting for their team. And I think this was more than fighting for the team. I think it was, you know, guys, we're struggling here. I need your help. Let's wake up. You know, I'm still here fighting for you guys. I need you to fight for me. And you know, I loved it, honestly. I mean, Brad Ausmus, like I just said, is not really a guy you see, you know, screaming and yelling in everybody's face all the time. I thought this was an important thing for him to do, and we'll see how it works out over the next couple of weeks. But, I mean, the Tigers need to figure out something quick, or, you know, Brad Ausmus will be out the door, and there will be a new face in there.
Well, it's amazing. The Tigers are always kind of like, there's something wrong with them. It's amazing. But how about Jeff Samardzija? Who woke this guy up all of a sudden?
I don't know. I never imagined I'd see Jeff Samardzija pitching this well again, but I mean, something happened. There's no doubt that the guy always had the talent, just could never really put it together. It was always a guy, you know, who would have a, you know, 4 ERA, and he'd be like, you know, he's pretty good, but he never really gets the job done. But I mean, as of late, you know, enjoying some great statistics, and is going to be a key cog, I think, for this Giants team, because, you know, the Giants playing very average right now, but, you know, they can make a run. And, you know, the Dodgers, I think, are also a good team. But, I mean, these teams are going to go back and forth all year.
Well, I mean, the Dodgers, I mean, they just spun off 8 in a row, the Giants, so it's a little bit above average, right? I mean,
yeah, we'll see. I mean, they might drop 8 in a row the next week.
Well, they might, but they got 3.5 game lead right now. But so what do you think about the Phillies? I mean, that's another – I mean, I don't think they're going to be there at the end, but they're certainly an amazing story right now.
Right, and it's really amazing, you know, they're 7 games over 500 with a negative 28 run differential. And I think a lot of it has to do with that young starting pitching. You know, Aaron Nola has been, you know, one of the brightest young stars, I think, that hasn't really been talked about that much in Major League Baseball. I mean, you look at a guy with a sub, you know, 2.6 ERA, pitching lights out for this Phillies team, and they're making it a division right now. I mean, I never thought I would say that at the beginning of the year. You know, if I had to pick one of the three teams to come in last between Miami, Atlanta, and Philly, I was, you know, almost ready to side with Philly over Atlanta. But, I mean, they've completely turned the tide around, and they made it very interesting so far, which is why, you know, we love professional sports. I mean, things like this happen every once in a while that make you shake your head, but you got to keep watching.
Well, I mean, nobody took pitchers in our draft. You know, we have a little bit different fantasy than everybody else, but nobody took anybody from the Phillies until the late rounds, because everybody figured they'd lose over 100 games. But of course, all of a sudden, again, you know, they're one game out of first, and they're 7 games over 500. I mean, that's a, you know, they're in pretty good shape, and you know, obviously the Mets are scuffing a little bit, and of course the Cubs, they couldn't beat Milwaukee. What the hell's going on with them? Are they done?
No, they're not done. I think everybody knew that, you know, a couple times a season, a team this good is going to go through a little bit of a rough patch. And not even saying that it's a rough patch. I mean, they lost a series to the Brewers. It's not the end of the world. But, yeah, they seem to always have a little bit of trouble with the Brewers. I mean, they took them – the one game they won was they took them to 13 innings in Milwaukee. So, I mean, it wasn't a great series for the Cubs, but, you know, still got a 6-game lead. I think they're still the best team in baseball. I don't think anybody's taking that from them. But another team I think, you know, is a team to watch out for is the Seattle Mariners. I mean, Robinson Cano, Nelson Cruz, and Kyle Seager, if those three bats get going for this Mariners team, that team is going to go on a roll, because, I mean, those guys can really hit the ball. And Cano, I think, is starting to look like the Robinson Cano we saw when he played for the New York Yankees and won the Home Run Derby a few years ago.
Yeah, I mean, you know what, they're really playing well, and of course, it's amazing, you know, how they've come and how good Cano was, and everybody forgets that he was, you know, he started out last year injured and played the entire year injured, and this year he's healthy, and of course, you know, hey, who knows, you know, what's going to go on with them, and what do you think? You know, of course, Baltimore and Boston are dominating, and, you know, Tampa Bay is, as always, sticking around. But do you think that the Yankees are going to trade any of the big three, Betances or Warren or what's his name?
Chapman.
Do you think they're going to trade any of those guys?
You know what? I don't. I don't think they are. I think this team is pretty old. I think they're definitely on the back end. But I do think they're underperforming, and I don't see them in the next few years being, you know, a team preseason that, you know, we say that this team is a team to watch out for. But I think if they were able to acquire a little bit more starting pitching and possibly, you know, a couple more bats, I think they're a team that could possibly make a postseason run. I mean, it's not every day that you get, you know, a bullpen like the Yankees have right now. I mean, it's second to none in the league. The problem is, you know, they rarely get to use it because they're not that good of a team. So what's the point of having a good bullpen, you know, if you can't hold leads and get and acquire leads? But I think this team's, you know, major Achilles heel is its starting pitching. And whether young guys like Eovaldi and Severino can step up or whether they need to go and get new arms, you know, I don't think this team is as far off as it seems. So I think they keep those guys.
You know, I don't know. I think they may decide that it may be time to end and, you know, to build some young talent. But, you know, we'll see. But in the meantime, we've got, you know, the Baltimore leading in the East. We've got the White Sox and the Seattle Mariners. And then the Nationals, the Cubs, and the Giants. And, you know, I think that no story would be complete, though, as we come towards the end of the show here, is how they fired Freddie Garcia from Atlanta. He got it, found out in an email that his flight was changed. How do you like that?
I mean, it's unprofessional. I think it's, you know, pretty terrible. I feel a little bit for the guy. I mean, it's just so unprofessional how they could let that happen. But I guess, you know, that sometimes I guess that happens when you get a team that's run by a bunch of rich people who don't really, you know how to deal with people. But I felt for Freddie Gonzalez. I thought he got a raw end of the stick getting fired like that. I thought they should have fired him before the year if they didn't think the team was going anywhere, which obviously it wasn't. But, you know, I thought that was garbage.
Well, I mean, again, I didn't like the way they didn't just approach it right. They didn't say, we're going to suck, and that's it. But they were trying to sell tickets for that new stadium. But that'll do it for today's Sporting Edge. And everybody have a great weekend. We always appreciate you spending some time with us. It looks for another exciting weekend. And we'll see how the Preakness turns out. And we'll see how the baseball goes. But we will see you next week right here on the Sporting Edge. This has been the Sporting Edge with Bubba and Zander. Make sure you miss an episode. LibertyTalk.fm. You can download it. Other than that, we will see you next week. And have a great weekend, everybody. The Sporting Edge with Bubba and Zander. Have a great weekend. We'll see you later. Thanks.
Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.